Well, tonight, government forges on with controversial introduction of private parties into the power distribution process as seven-member technical committee presents recommendations to government despite fierce opposition from the Trade Union Congress and the Public Utilities Workers Union.
The distribution across the country will be divided into several parts, and each of them awarded to probably a different private sector participator to operate.
We'll hear from the energy minister, who says this is the only way to go.
On a monthly basis, we incur a deficit or a shortfall of more than 1 billion cedis from the distribution sector, and that has a cascading effect.
But Poo is already fighting these proposals.
So what's the business of a private sector in the energy sector? Unless you are saying that we are changing the dynamic, that look, you should come and make profit.
Details of all of these here on Top Story, brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. My name is Samuel Kojobrace. Well, tonight the government pushes forward with its plan to introduce private entities into Ghana's power distribution sector, despite strong opposition from the Trade Union Congress and the Public Utilities Workers Union, PUU. After nearly 2 months of deliberations, the technical committee tasked with exploring private sector participation in the Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, and NETCO has submitted its report to the Energy Minister. One of the key proposals in the report suggests breaking ECG's operations into separate units and allowing private sector players to take over specific segments. This is just one of three major recommendations presented to the government. My colleague Michael Ashley was present at the presentation and now joins with details on the proposals. Michael, let's start with the committee's assessment of the challenges of Ghana's leading electricity distributor, ECG.
Well, Brace, so this is exactly how the committee puts it. They say that they did a thorough assessment, consulting well over 235 organizations and 35 other entities in their sort of processes to come up with plausible suggestions to government on how to go about this private sector participation in the energy distribution sector. When it came to the major challenges facing ECG, the committee says they identified nine of them. Now, in one of those groups, they separated these nine into two separate groups. One that has to do solely with the ECG, and the other has to do with other issues outside of ECG's control that are also making it difficult for ECG to operate as we all want it. Now, on the first part, it says that they identified that administrative setup at the ECG is one of the biggest problems they mentioned. Also, they raised issues with the governance and procurement system. Procurement has been in the news for almost 2 weeks now, with Energy Minister himself championing some of these conversations in the media already about the containers and all of that. So that heavily came up, and the committee wanted to specify also that these were conversations they had come up with weeks ago, even before this whole container issue came up. Again, they also went on to talk about operational issues, including high losses on the part of ECG. And these came from two separate areas, the collection and then the power loss in itself, the transmission process. And then finally, on that particular sector, it says that widespread customer dissatisfaction raised. That particular one influenced one of the decisions that, or the recommendations the committee made at the end of the day. Widespread customer dissatisfaction. So this is on this, the challenges at the doorstep of ECG, the ones that they think ECG is largely to be blamed for. And then there's a second part that has nothing to do with the ECG. They talk about foreign exchange losses, then the high tariff gap they thought was there. And then again, regulatory inconsistencies, they say.
Mm. So how did these challenges, they enumerated? Of course, you mentioned that one of them influenced their recommendation. How did these challenges influence the recommendation of the committee for private sector participation in ECG?
So, Brace, after almost 2 months of deliberations and meeting all these well over 260 different groups to come up with these, they came up with eight modules with or recommendations to the energy minister. Now, of these eight, they narrowed it down to three. And three, these three is what they shared with us today. The first one is entity concession, and this is the chairman himself of this committee sharing this with us. He says that entity concession, which they explain as the whole distribution process business, will be given out to one entity. And we've seen this before in the past, PDS deal. And then again, they also went on to talk about the multiple lease and then also the service franchise break. So they gave us three suggestions to the minister. At the end of the day, we can listen to Jabez Emisa Atta. He's the chair of the technical committee, explaining into detail what these modules mean and what they will also do as a committee, what they think it will change at the ECG.
We identified nine major challenges that are impeding the performance of distribution utilities in the country. And these nine have been put in four groups. The first group has to do with the administrative setup of ECG especially. And we see problems with governance, we see problems with management malaise. And then we also see procurement problems. This is not because of what has come up in the past week, but we had identified it previously. Apart from these, then there are also operational issues that are impeding the performance of the distribution function. And these include the high losses, both in terms of commercial and collection, and high losses in terms of technical and unaccounted energy. Then lastly, there's widespread customer dissatisfaction with the services they are receiving from the distribution utilities. Overall, we looked about eight models of private sector participation, and we settled on three to that summarize what the picture is. And we have looked at this in detail. There's one that we call, the first one, option A, that we call the entity concession, where the whole distribution business would be given out to a private concession as one whole concession. Then there's option B, which we are calling the multiple lease, in which case the distribution across the country will be divided into several parts and each of them awarded to probably a different private sector participator to operate and to invest in. Then there's a third option, which we call option C, the service franchise, in which case the private sector will operate the network, the low voltage network from the distribution transformer to deliver services to the homes.
So that is the chairman there. Now, some groups, including Trades Union Congress and the Public Utilities Workers Union Pool, have strongly opposed any form of privatization, arguing that they were not consulted. You raised this concern with the committee. How did they respond?
Well, Brace, the response from the committee was simple, that they, first of all, engaged well over 260 different groups, including Pool, which they say that they wrote a petition to them, they accepted and gave them an opportunity to do a presentation. So for them, it covers that group as being consulted. But the group insists that it wasn't enough for them, Brace.
Now, how soon should we expect these recommendations to be implemented by the ministry?
Well, the minister at least gives us an idea of what is going to happen from now. He tells us that, first of all, he has to write a position paper. These are his words. He has to write a position paper to cabinet. Then from cabinet, a few other consultations have to be done. Then they will possibly settle on one of those three recommendations. Other than that, possibly they have to do a mix. You can listen to the Energy Minister, John Jinapo, his response to the committee after he had received the recommendations from them.
This exercise is not the end of the road. In fact, this is the beginning. Because we thought that before we undertake or pursue this step, we needed to consult broadly. And so this is exactly what the committee has done. And as you've just heard from the chairman, they've given us three options. Option one, option two, option three. And in all the three options, it's quite clear that none of them talks about outright sale of ECG and its assets. And so I just thought that I should make it clear so that nobody goes to misquote us or misrepresent us to say that the committee has recommended that ECG be sold. In all the suggestions and the options, it's quite obvious that ECG will still remain the asset owner. And then, depending on which one we choose, we'll make progress. The next step from here will be to do a position paper to cabinet for the entire government to consider and approve the option that we will be pursuing, following which we would establish a project implementation committee. We'd also have to get a transaction advisor, make this process as transparent and open as possible, with emphasis on local content and participation. On a monthly basis, we incur a deficit or a shortfall of more than 1 billion cedis from the distribution sector, and that has a cascading effect on the rest of the power sector players. And so clearly, something must be done.
So you have the Minister for Energy and Green Transition, John Abdullahi Jinapor. Let's bring in the General Secretary of the Public Utilities Workers Union, Pool, Timothy Inyame. Grateful to you, sir, for joining here. You say that you were not consulted, but the committee says they gave you the opportunity for you to make presentation to them. That's the consultation they're talking about.
Yes, so we made a presentation to them. And they gave us another opportunity to come and explain our position paper that we presented. After which, they promised engaging us, I mean, coming out from, engaging us with the report, outcome of their finding and their recommendation. So they did that via Zoom. After which, we demanded the copies of their presentation. Interestingly, the chairman promised to give us the presentation, but 3 weeks down the line, it has not come. Only for us to be informed that they are presenting the document to the minister. So we were not informed after the presentation was.
But this consultation was to make your position known, and you already got that to the committee through the presentation you did. No.
Fine, but I thought they said they were making consultation. So when they were making consultation, and they don't forget that PUWU, and for that matter, the ECG workers are the major stakeholder in the value chain. And just also don't also forget that these are a range of technocrats in the industry who can give you the know-how and giving advice on how effectively to manage the entity. And when we presented the document, TUC and POOL, in fact, I saw the chairman and the members actually ask questions, and sufficient information was given to them. And we were moving in that angle of mutual trust. So if for nothing at all, what they presented on via Zoom, they should have given us the position for us to also know what to say. So you see, as we are talking now, we have not laid hold of any document that they said they have presented to the Honorable Minister. But in our document, we stated the position clear of the union, TUC, POOL.
And what is that position?
Our position is that private sector participation and privatization are one and the same. We're demanding from them whether they can give us any model where PST or private sector participation in the energy sector has succeeded, especially in Africa. And we have examples, many examples, where this practice that they are trying to introduce has failed. So if you have the best option to give, that will benefit Ghanaians and the customers of ECG, you just good that they give us an audience and let us together think of how to move the entity forward. Because so, I don't think that as much as we are the workers, we want the company to fail. But we are recommended to them a range of steps that we think that when they put together, we'll be able to change the dynamics and the fortune of the entity.
So what are your proposals then?
Oh, if you can well remember, when we presented our position paper, we made copies to the press. We made copies to the press with a range of issues that we expect the government to attend to. For instance, government interference in the operation of ECG, procurement issues that have come for now, and also procurement of meters. Don't forget that we also mentioned of political meters that are distributed and mounted and people premises that are not read. We also have range of customers without working meters. These are the things that we were trying to talk of. Also, we also have management of government to let management put in place control measures, control mechanisms that can monitor every activity in the in line. So we think that all that we are bringing, we are not asking so much, but we think that when these measures are put in place, ECG will be transformed. Or it's because we can't sell a product without having a measuring instrument. See? Also, the chairman, also being an engineer, also knows that when you are transmitting power, there are transmission losses. So the losses that you are seeing may not necessarily be commercial losses. There are transmission losses and technical losses. So it's
But that is all part of what the private sector will do. For example, we also want their PDX example and what they were able to achieve despite the challenges. Are you saying that is not the solution that can get ECG to be that profitable or productive again?
PDX never brought any solution, my brother. If PDX collects revenue and they are not able to... in dollar terms. So you collect the CDs, you go and change the money into dollars and pay the IPP. We have also recommended that the conditions surrounding IPP should be changed. That we should be made, this issue should be made to pay in Ghana City. Also, they should review the terms of payment. The take or pay does not help anybody in the nation. So these are some of the safety issues that we think government, when they give audience to the union, and for that matter, workers of ECG, seems to be streamlined.
Okay. Now, the committee gave three recommendations to the ministry. Entity concession, where they say the whole distribution business can be given to one entity to run. Multiple lease, distribution will be divided into several parts and given to different entities. The other suggestion is service franchise. Are you saying that these three are not what will really change the fortunes for ECG?
All these models are lazy profit motive, my brother. Which investor will come and invest in energy sector that we know is not able to make profit and will not make profit? So all these options that are being brought are profit motivated. Me and you will not sink money into our entity where we shall not get profit. Otherwise, we have to sign and let everybody know that this is a non profit making organization. Otherwise, all these three options that are stated contradict our position paper that we presented to government of the committee and the ministerial committee. When we get the report, we'll study it very well and we'll make our response. But if anything that is contradictory to our recommendation, you know that it should be accepted by the union.
So you workers will reject any recommendation that is contrary to what you put?
This I'm saying, for now, I will not hastily conclude, but I'm saying that any recommendation that stands in contrast, that has a profit motive for the investor, we'll look at it and advise ourselves very, very well.
But it is clear that Ghanaians are ready to pay if the power would stay on for them. So I want to really get you. But is it that the private person will let the power stay on, or because the private sector will make profit. That's your problem.
But brother, we have the regulator who regulates pricing of power to customers. And this is what we are using. We are saying that any investor who will come and invest in this city will be making profit. Don't forget PDS. When PDS came, PDS requested for adjustment of tariff upwards so that you can be able to operate and collect the money. They were not paying the IPP. ECG is collecting the money, pay IPP in dollar terms. You pay the IPPs in dollars, they go and collect the revenue, convert the Ghana cedis into dollars, and pay the IPPs. That is in Ghana here. No one speaks about that. And PDS was collecting the revenue. They were not paying the IPP. So you see, there are differences. We have suggested several ways that ECG can be made to stand. We have suggested, and they are very genuine position that the TUC, for that matter, are good.
So if after you study the report and you disagree with the recommendations and government doesn't listen to your opinion, what will you do?
Oh, in the wisdom of the minister, when we raise issue of this, it could still consider a committee. And for me, I am delighted that respect for a mutual understanding and dialogue is something that we shall explore. Of course, who will not just get up and start resisting something? We need to discuss, engage government on these issues because they are issues of national interest and importance. So we are not just going to start laying down our tools of strike or anything. We are going to engage government and let them understand the reasoning behind our position as the union.
Okay. Grateful to you. Timothy Nyame is General Secretary of the General Secretary of the Public Utility Workers Union Pool. Let me bring in Dr. Nida Kwasanti. He is a former Commissioner of the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission. Grateful to you, Doc, for joining. Now, the committee has put forth three recommendations: entity concession, multiple lease, service franchise. Your thought on these recommendations, which one will best fit, the ECG and where we want it to be?
Good evening to you and to your listeners. I haven't seen the details, so I couldn't really say which one would be best. But I'm sure the report would give the pros and cons of each option. But essentially what we are trying, I guess, what the committee is trying to do is to bring in the private sectors, like the union man said, profit motive to bring benefits to the people of Ghana. I mean, profit is not a dirty word. We shouldn't treat profit as if a company making profit means the government makes a loss. But if in making profit they do what we want, it's a win-win. And that's what the whole concept of public-private partnerships are. So I'm not too concerned about the specific option, although I would believe that some options will be more difficult to implement than others.
But if you listen to the workers and then they make it clear that any suggestion that is opposite to or contrary to what they put forth will be rejected, how must the workers and government approach this so that we can get to a win-win situation or get a consensus on the way forward for ECG?
Yes, I mean, I'm sure the union will come round. I mean, obviously, their position, they are concerned about jobs, they are concerned about their positions in these industries. But we must remember how we got here. ECG has been a public sector entity for as long as we can all remember. We've had some stints of private participation. But to a large extent, we have not been able to resolve things with ECG in the public sector. Whether it's because of government interference or it's because of corruption or mismanagement or whatever, the sum total is that we have not succeeded. I think it's only fair that we consider whether private participation could help. However, I mean, if the public sector says they can do it, I think they can do it, but they should demonstrate to us that they can do it. This private sector participation will not happen overnight. This is their chance to prove to us that they are capable.
No, they've given conditions that government interference should be removed. They've spoken about meters, he says political meters, and some conditions that the politician, you know, uses to really stifle the work that they will do. He says if those are off, they can do the work that the private sector man will do.
You see, it's not, I mean, you see, if I am failing at my job, I can point to others who are contributing to my failure. But let's admit that we are failing first. I do not doubt that there are political meetings. I do not doubt that there's political interference. But when they talk, they never admit they are part of the failing. And that is the biggest part of it. We all know there are places where people don't pay their bills, whether it is staff who connect them illegally, whether it is staff who should be checking who don't check. People have issues. They complain that my meter is not recording. I'm getting power. We've heard even on Joy FM people complaining. These things are also happening. But whenever government starts to say privatizing, then they point to the failings of government. This is the time for each of us to admit to our failings. Yes, government interferes. We should stop it. But the public sector, when they come, they should at least also admit their failings, because they are also failing.
But as we explore the option of a private participation, why don't we explore the option of getting the politicians out and giving them a chance to prove, after which we take a firm decision?
So I agree. We should get the politicians out. What, do we sack the president? Do we sack the minister? We have to be practical about it. The reality is that government interference is a function of government having the power to intervene. It requires a strong public sector who rejects the interference of the minister. Are they prepared to put their jobs on the line, and when the minister interferes, say no, and come to Joy FM and say the minister is the one doing this? If you are not prepared to do it, don't blame the minister. Don't blame the president. Don't blame the MP. It requires robust standing your ground. And some of us believe that in this environment, maybe that is not possible. As for governments and politicians, they will interfere unless we take them out. We cannot take them out. So if we cannot take them out and the public sector cannot withstand it, then what are we left with? Isn't it privatization?
I'm grateful to you, Dr. Anida Kwasanti, for joining us with your thought here. This has been Top Story on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. It was brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies, lean, set aside spray, and coil, enjoy holy sleep. Up next is Newsnight.